From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to the program, broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance studio, where we are coming off a big week. We just had the annual Walk for Life this past Saturday at the state capitol, where thousands of Nebraskans showed up to Walk for Life and be a voice for the voiceless. And this Monday, we have just learned that the United States Senate is expected to hold a vote on the late-term abortion ban prohibiting abortions after 20 weeks, the Pain-Capable Unborn Child Protection Act. This is a historic vote and a huge opportunity to defend life, and something everyone should be made aware of, because the United States holds the distinction of being just one of seven countries in the entire world to allow abortions after the 20th week of pregnancy, alongside places like North Korea, Vietnam, China, and Singapore. So there is a lot to cover on the pro-life movement, but this past week also was a big week because we celebrated School Choice Week, and there was a large rally with hundreds of school students at the state capitol in support of choice and freedom in education, and rallying around a bill that has been introduced in the Nebraska legislature to help create more educational freedom in Nebraska. We are already 3 weeks into this year's session. Committee hearings are underway. Bill introduction has concluded. There is now over 1,100 pieces of legislation formally introduced in the Nebraska legislature over the last 2 years. So there is a lot on our lawmakers' plates. But we know one issue for sure that will be taken up and debated by the full legislature is the issue of school choice. And this has not been debated by the legislature for years, but we will have that opportunity this year thanks to a state senator who I have with me on the program today. I'm pleased to be joined now by Nebraska State Senator Lou Ann Linehan from District 39 in Elkhorn. Senator, it is so great to have you on the show today.
Well, I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you very much for having me.
Senator, we are now already 3 weeks in to the Nebraska legislature, and the last few days I've heard multiple state senators singing. We're already seeing Senator Chambers' famous filibusters. What is going on the floor of the unicameral?
Well, part of what is going on is personalities. It's everybody kind of figuring out where everyone is this year. And there's a more heightened stress, I think, this year than there was last year, because it's a short session. And we have a revenue shortfall. We have people horribly concerned about property taxes, and people are trying to find some answers. And one of the things that looks a little slow now is because bills aren't yet out of committee, or we haven't figured out if we have the votes. So there's a lot of work that you don't see on the floor of the legislature going on. We are far more busy than it might look like when you're watching from home.
Well, it's always interesting, and I know now committee hearings are taking place in the afternoons, and one very vital committee that you are a member of is the Education Committee, and I know this is a huge issue for you. What are some of the initiatives that you're helping lead to improve education in Nebraska?
Well, thank you for that question. So we have work on actually the curriculum and what's going on in our schools and making sure that they're actually children have the opportunity to learn. So one of the bills I worked on last year was my K-3 reading bill. We're still working on that. I think it might be up in a couple of weeks because it still is my priority from last year. And then my other focus for the year is LB-295, which is a tax scholarship credit, which would enable children whose parents are low income the same opportunities that the other children have to go to a school of their choice.
And I want to talk to you about this bill. It's LB-295, and you have actually chosen to make this your priority bill for this year, the 2018 session, and that's a big deal because senators only get to do that for one bill. Why is it that you've chosen to select 295, and what exactly would this new tax credit do for education and the ability for parents to have more freedom and choice?
There's a the way the tax credit would work is it's like people will be familiar with this that pay income taxes, which most Nebraskans do. If you owe $1,000 in income taxes to the state of Nebraska and you gave $100 to a scholarship granting organization, instead of paying $1,000 in income tax, you could deduct that $100 and you would pay $900. But it has to go to an authorized scholarship organization. There's only one in Nebraska right now. It's the Omaha Scholarship, but which does all across the state. But hopefully, when this credit passes, there will be other organizations. It does have to be for kids who are currently not in a parochial school, so it's all be new kids, and it can only be just for one school. So it's fair. It's not a way to help kids that are already there, but it's a way to help kids who can't and haven't been able to. The Omaha Scholarship Foundation that gives children $2,000, and the parents have to come up with $500, and then the institution obviously would have to come, the school would have to come up with the rest. They're way short on the number of kids that want scholarships. So the funding would be would answer prayers of many people is what it would do.
Well, you only get one shot at a child's education, and for parents, you know, being able who feel like they might be stuck, and for whatever reason, their child is struggling, and they want to pursue different options, but we know a lot of families don't have that option due to financial circumstances or where they might live. So, what has it been like for you to see the level of opposition that some senators and groups raise to what you're trying to do to really help more parents and families get a quality education?
I really believe, well, I'm shocked by the opposition, really. I mean, I don't know who doesn't want to help a low-income child go to the school of their choice or help a parent who is all the things that we all say we want, hardworking, but low-income. They're trying to take care of their kids. They care enough that they know there's a school they would do better in. Why would we not help that parent? A parent, regardless of whether they're high income or low income, nobody loves that child more than that parent. So if that parent has made a decision that this school or that school is the best school for their child, I think we should trust the parents. I think that's the basic American value, that we don't believe the government knows better than the parents for a child.
Well, I agree with you. I know the Nebraska Family Alliance is very proud to help support this bill. We want to see more choice and freedom in education and protect the rights of parents to have more influence and control over their child's education than the government. And we hear it so often that this is going to hurt public schools, or this is an attack on public school teachers. And I can't wrap my head around that argument, because this bill doesn't take anything away from public schools, and it's about helping children and families who really need it the most.
It is, and it's funny in that whole conversation that you hear how I love teachers. I spent the summer in schools across the state in this fall, and we have incredible educators out there. But we also have incredible educators in the private schools, the parochial schools. So I don't think there are any. I think all teachers are good, and obviously there's some that not every teacher is perfect. I know that some are better than others, but I don't think public schools or parochial schools have a special formula that they're the only ones that have the great teachers. There's great teachers in parochial schools too. So I'm a little confused as why this is not about teachers. This is about kids and where the kid is the most comfortable. And a lot of public school teachers send their kids to parochial schools, many.
Well, it was very encouraging to see a rally that happened last week at the state capitol in support of this legislation and school choice. And there were hundreds of school children and parents and teachers and families all there to support it and talking with legislators. Senator Linehan, can you give us maybe a picture or what we might expect to see happen next with this bill?
It's a matter in the legislature that, fortunate or unfortunate, depends on how you feel about a bill. To actually get a bill passed, you need 33 votes, not 25. 25 is a majority out of 49, but we have the filibuster, which I understand why we have it. It's important. It protects people's rights. So we have to have 33 votes, so you have to build a coalition. So there's a solid group that I feel very confident that they'll be supporting, but then there's some that are in the middle, and we need help with those in the middle, and that's where the listeners could come in very You could be very helpful if you contacted your senators, either write or an email or a phone call, and just ask them to support LB 295.
And a very easy and great way to do that is to visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, where we have information on this legislation, LB 295, and how you can contact your state lawmaker and ask them to support this bill. And Senator Linehan, I'd love for our listeners to hear from you directly. As a state senator, what happens when someone calls an office or sends an email or writes a letter? Do they see it? Does it make a difference? Is this, you know?
It makes a huge difference. And the phone calls, so your listeners, just for background, I worked in D.C. in a senator's office, and we would get sometimes, because there's more funding available for lobbying, so we would get sometimes 500 calls a day. So once last year, my first year in the legislature, I came back from the floor and I said, I don't remember what we were doing, probably something on school choice. And I asked if we got any calls, and my assistant said, oh yeah, we got a bunch of calls. Like, how many do we get? Five? I'm like, that is not a lot of calls. So it gives you some idea how important phone calls are. People just don't take the time. It's easy. You should be people like to get calls. We have staff that answer the phone all day or leave a message, because they do have to run around. Emails too. Every senator, if you watch us on the floor frequently, senators are staring, looking at their computers. They're reading your emails. So and we read them, and they have a big effect. And the people who are against this bill, they're very well organized, and they will be emailing their senators. So contacting your senator on this particular legislation is critically important. I need your help to get this done.
Well, I appreciate you walking us through that and talking about the difference that citizens can make. We're talking about LB 295, and Senator, what was your message to those who were at the rally in support of this last week? And in your experience, as you've researched this issue, what type of difference does it make when more families have the freedom to send their children to the school of their choice?
They're more involved. It's a family. It's like an extended family, right? And you could tell that at the rally. There were parents there with teachers and principals and superintendents, and those kids feel like they're in a family. These are their friends. They share the same values. And they don't, it's another thing. People talk about how faith-based institutions they cherry pick, or they don't take kids with disabilities. We had a little boy there yesterday, was like an angel. He had Down syndrome. There's a senator on the floor of the legislature who worked with a parochial school in Omaha to build an elevator. So a little boy in a wheelchair could go to school with his siblings. There's a love and a belonging in these schools that there are in public schools too. I realize that, but we all want to be with the people we're comfortable with, and the churches we're comfortable with, and the schools we're comfortable with, and it shouldn't be because of how much money you have are the only people that can make those choices. LB 295 enables people who are working and trying to do their best and love their children the same opportunities that I and my husband had, because we'd been fortunate in our lives.
Well, I can just really see and hear the passion that you have for this issue, and it's so humbling to have a senator take on this issue. It's not an issue that has been debated a lot by the Nebraska legislature, and Nebraska, I believe, is actually now one of only five states in the country that has no real school choice program out there, and this legislation to create a scholarship tax credit is a great way to help create more freedom for families. And Senator Linehan, you mentioned that you used to be in D.C. and you've seen a lot on the national stage for politics. What is it like for you moving from that, where you have large staff, and now you're back in Nebraska, you know, just dealing with the one house unicameral? Those must just be night and day.
Well, they are night and day, and then yet there's some very similarities. And one thing is, everybody who runs for office, liberals, very, very conservatives, they all do that because they want to help people. So, again, that's why it's so important to contact your senator, because they want to hear from their constituents, and they want to do what's best. So in this particular legislation, hearing from constituents is just critical. It was important in D.C., but I think here, because we're smaller and we're closer to the people, it's even more important because we've small staffs. I have two people that work for me. They work very, very hard. So sometimes you won't get, you know, you might have to leave a message, but bear with us and help us because it's just, I haven't met a senator over there who doesn't care a great deal about what their constituents think. And that's true in D.C. too, but the distance and the size, it's just much more personal in Lincoln, and I like it, frankly, better.
Senator Linehan, I'd love to get your take, too, on Nebraska's unicameral. It's so unique in that it is only one house and also that it's bipartisan. What has that been like for you? This is your second year in the legislature now working with our bipartisan unicameral.
I think I enjoy it. I'm conservative. I'm pro-life. I've always been conservative. I'm very fiscal conservative as well. I think a lot of what kind of it's, I see some down and some up as far as nonpartisan. You do have to work across party lines, so that is good. I agree with Norris that the conference committees that they used to have when you have two houses is when things happen that nobody understands. That happens in D.C. It doesn't happen here. I also found it very unique, and it's time-consuming. As you said, we're in hearings every afternoon, in my case, every afternoon, all afternoon, but that gives the opportunity for people to come and testify. That's also very powerful. I wish I'd see more parents come to the Education Committee, Health and Human Services Committee to testify on bills, because that we have a lot of people, even in Lincoln, who are lobbyists, and I like lobbyists. They serve a very important role here in Lincoln, but it's good to hear from people, parents, and educators. I wish more people who are working in schools, Christian-based schools, would testify and come to our hearings.
Well,
welcome.
It does make a big difference, and so we would encourage people to do that as well. And Senator, just this past weekend, we had the Walk for Life in Lincoln, and thousands of Nebraskans came out to Walk for Life, and it's always such an encouraging event to see that strong support. And I know that's an issue you also care deeply about. Why is that being pro-life something that's important to you and a value you carry with you in the legislature?
I don't know. I believe so strongly in pro-life and pro-family that it's hard for me to understand the other side at all. And I think, especially as a woman, I think it devalues, abortion devalues women, not only children, but women. And it also leaves a woman all alone when it's so readily available because she's on her own, right? She can make a choice. So I just, not only because of the child and every soul is precious, but I think it harms women and it harms our place in society.
Senator Linehan, I could sit here and ask you questions all day, but I know you have to get back to the legislature and back to work. So I just want to say thank you for coming on the show today and really thank you for your service to the state of Nebraska and helping to make sure that more families have freedom in education and being a voice for pro-life and pro-family values.
Well, thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it very much, and I appreciate your listeners.
You can find more information on LB 295 and how to help create more choice and freedom in education for students and families by visiting NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, where we have also just published this year's bill tracker. This is where Nebraska Family Alliance lists the most prominent pieces of legislation that our organization is monitoring and working on throughout this year's session. It's right on the homepage at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, and this is really a great way to keep an eye on and become familiar with the bills that our lawmakers are considering that have a direct impact on family, freedom, and life. And there are some really important bills out there to be aware of, from issues ranging from human trafficking and pro-life to gambling and religious freedom and marriage. And these issues are all going to be decided by 49 state senators who need 25 votes for a majority or 33 to overcome a filibuster. And every bill that is introduced must go through a committee hearing and a committee vote first. And that's an opportunity for citizens and anyone who would like to testify or submit a letter to the committee expressing one's support or opposition to a bill. And so if you visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, again, be sure to click on the bill tracker and you can see the legislation that is out there on some of these big issues and how you can be involved in voicing your opinion to your state senator and making sure that they know where their constituents stand on some of these issues. One key bill to be aware of, the main pro-life initiative this year, is in LB 944, the state budget bill, which contains a provision to end the public subsidization of abortion clinics. Tax money is not supposed to be used for abortions. And despite that federal law, abortion clinics in Nebraska are still receiving nearly $300,000 a year in taxpayer money. And they get those funds through the Title X grant program. This is money that the state of Nebraska gets from the federal government and then disperses to health clinics. And although taxpayer funding of abortion is illegal, taxpayer money is still subsidizing the abortion industry via these Title X funds. And the number one recipient gets more money than anybody else from this program are abortion providers. And when Congress initiated this Title X grant program, they designed it so that these funds would not be used in programs where abortion is a method of family planning. So this provision is all about providing accountability and making sure that Nebraska's tax dollars are not going to support the abortion industry in our state by requiring that those clinics truly be separate from abortion. So any clinic who is performing or assisting with or counseling in favor of abortion would be ineligible to receive that money. And as Governor Ricketts has said, Nebraska is a pro-life state, and our budget should reflect those values. This new proposal is in line with the express will of Congress, and also importantly, the political will of Nebraskans, who have elected a very strong pro-life governor and five pro-life members of Congress and a pro-life majority in our state legislature. So there's no reason why taxpayer money should still be subsidizing abortion in our state. And importantly, we believe fundamentally that we can support true quality health care for women without subsidizing abortion clinics with public funds. It doesn't have to be either or. So it's important to note that this does not change at all the amount of money that would be allocated for health care and to health clinics through Title X. The same amount of money to go to providers would be available. And just like other budget appropriations, the Title X language simply provides conditions to qualify for government funds, because Nebraskans and Americans generally agree that taxpayer dollars should not subsidize abortion. And this provision, which Nebraska Family Alliance is supporting, ensures that that is no longer happening in our state. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, the United States Senate is set to vote tomorrow on Monday to ban abortions after 20 weeks. The importance of this cannot be overstated. We know that as many as 25,000 preborn babies are aborted after the 20th week of pregnancy each year in the United States. And this bill, the Pain Capable Unborn Child Protection Act, would prohibit the vast majority of those abortions, sparing thousands of precious innocent lives. And we know through science and medical advancements and technology that the unborn child can feel pain at 20 weeks. There's simply no reason for the United States to be one of seven remaining nations in the entire world, alongside North Korea and China, to allow this to happen. And Nebraska was actually the first state in the entire country to pass this at the state level, and now is the opportunity for federal lawmakers to take this nationwide. For more information on this issue, how you can help advance the pro-life cause, protect innocent life, and defend fundamental rights, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. I'm your host, Nate Groz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you'll join us next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.